Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Very good evening from sunny, well, maybe not sunny right now, but a very warm Naples, Florida. Hope you're all doing very well this Sunday evening. We've got a lot to discuss, and I will just pause and let Chris take it over, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. Yeah, Bill, you've got a news flash if it's sunny at 8 o'clock at night in December in Florida. You can let us know about
it looks
that.
Looks sunny
that
to happens. Me.
But anyway,
at least it's not snowing down there, Bill.
That's right. That's right. And it's not snowing here yet, but I guess, Perry, you've got some snow on the way, right?
We actually got mist. We, 30 miles to our south, they have 16 inches on the ground, and we don't even have one. So we got lucky out of this one.
Yeah, we're going to get some rain, I think, the next day or so, but that's about it. But anyway, welcome to Sports Lounge Live, show number 17. And we're doing the best. I was teasing people the other day. We're doing our best to, because we didn't take a week off for Thanksgiving because of the way the days fell. So we're doing our best to catch up to all things radio. But we got a long way to go, you know?
Yeah, we got a few to do.
So anyway, tonight we're going to, of course, start out with the NFL, as we usually do in a, you know, week 12 like this, and the playoff picture gets crazier all the time. We'll talk about that. Perry will go through the scores. We'll talk about the games individually, talk about where that leaves everybody, and then we'll do the schedule for next week. Then Sean and Perry, and I'll throw in questions about college football. And a lot of points scored this weekend, a lot of crazy games. And Sean will run down the conference championship schedule for next week. So you'll be able to kind of get an idea of what's going on Friday and Saturday with that. And then we'll do maybe a little college basketball, a little baseball rumors. We did find out what happened to Josh Lewin. We forgot to mention that. We want to throw that in and get that out on the table. And maybe take calls, of course. And with that, here is Sean to tell us about all that information for contact.
First of all, if you want to listen to our boxing expert, Ringside Robert, and his Ringside Reporter podcast, listen to him at ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7781. That's where you can listen. You can also go to all your platforms. Perry's football schedules at 641-715-3800, then do 36867 pound. And if you want to listen to, or if you want to leave us a message anytime throughout the week, if you're listening on delay, or even if you're listening and you don't want to call in, dial 773-572-7715, and then do not mark the message private. That way we can all three hear it. And as the recording said, you can dial in anytime, 646-876-9923, then do 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. When you are in here, star 6 mutes and unmutes you. Star 9 raises your hand. Now, if you're on the Zoom app, Alt-Y raises your hand to ask a question. So anyway, let's get to the NFL.
Well, let's start with last Monday night. Normally we don't go clear back, but I think in this case we probably should, just because the game was exactly as we figured it would be. A lot of points scored. The Rams did beat the Chiefs 54-51, and like I said, a lot of points scored in this game. And I guess from what Robert was telling us in the conference the other night, apparently the viewers are not happy with this trio that ESPN is putting up for Monday Night Football broadcasts. So apparently they're not.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there was quite an article in the Boston Globe on Friday that I read, too, on Saturday after Robert mentioned it to me. For those who like a sports section, and Robert is always trumpeting the Globe sports section around the country. If you want to go in and, you know, get some media comments, get all kinds of different things, he really thinks the Globe sports section is one of the best. And I know there's other good ones out there, but just to say that from somebody 3,000 miles away, as he is, he does say that our sports section is very good. But, yeah, they were saying that they really, again, that Jason Witten is, you know, in training, basically not that good. But that was a game that it got over just before midnight Eastern time, but I don't think the ratings dropped off. If you've got something interesting for people to watch, they'll continue to watch. And that was just fascinating, you know.
And with the radios that today that people have that they can sync up with TV, I wouldn't be surprised if you had people syncing their radios, you know, with radio audio with the TV play-by-play, you know, the TV.
That's right. I had Kevin Harlan going, I'll admit it.
I was listening to the Chiefs, but, you know, we can listen to pretty much anything we want to anymore, and that's great.
And a little bit of history coming out of that game, of course, the third most points ever scored by a winning team, the first time ever that two teams had scored over 50 in a game in the NFL, and the highest scoring game since the merger. So you had three kind of big events, you know, that came out of this game.
Yep. And they both had to rest today. They were tired, so they rested. They'll be playing next week.
And there is a possibility that those teams could rematch again in February. We just don't know.
Well, it's almost, you know, if you think about it, it's almost, if you think about the top teams in the conferences, the Saints and the Rams and the Patriots and the Chiefs and to a degree the Steelers, you get anybody, any of those five teams in there, or maybe even the Chargers if they upset a couple of teams, you're going to have a game like that in the Super Bowl pretty guaranteed, because they're not able to stop anybody.
And with all the commercials that they play in the Super Bowl, that'll go till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Yeah.
But then we go to Thursday, and we had three games on Thanksgiving, which obviously let's hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. And
yes.
Bears 23, Lions 16. I thought the Bears looked impressive. Chase Daniels started at quarterback, and I mean, he wasn't great, but hey, they won the game, and that's this time of year, that's your goal.
Chase Daniels is one of the better backups. He's one of the better backups, and he looked good in the preseason, and I think that they were kind of working on Trubisky to learn the offense a bit in preseason, so they played him less than even a starter normally plays, and Chase Daniels did fairly well in preseason, but you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but he's had a decent resume. He hasn't bounced around quite as much as some of the others, and the Bears do have a defense. Now, that's the one fly in the ointment. If you get the Bears into the Super Bowl against somebody, they might at least take a shot at shutting one of those other teams down.
This time of year, though, like Herm Edwards used to say when he was coaching the Chiefs, you play to win the game, and that's what the Bears did. They won the game.
Right. Yep.
Then we had the second game, Cowboys 31, Redskins 23, and
Colt McCoy almost pulled it off against him. He did.
Amari Cooper, though, is really, the first week or so against Tennessee didn't show much, but this is really exactly what they needed. They needed Dez Bryant, couldn't get Dez Bryant. They got Amari Cooper, which is right there, same idea, and they needed a passing threat to make teams honest. Everybody was just waiting for Ezekiel Elliott to run the ball, and this has really made Dallas they're not in the dynamic offense class of the Rams and the Saints or anything, but they're at least can put some points on the board once in a while. And, the Redskins, we'll talk about the standings later, but now you got a real fight in the NFC East between the Redskins, Cowboys, and Eagles. So we'll get to that in a little while.
We will. Then the Saints beat the Falcons 31-17. That one wasn't quite as good as the other two, but
wasn't as close as the score at all.
No, and the Saints the Saints just keep on rolling.
Atlanta, you would think with their weapons should have the offense. I mean, there's going to be changes in Atlanta, I think, this year. They're pretty much out of it now. And whether it's the offensive coordinator or what has to happen, Ryan's a good quarterback. You got Julio Jones. You got some good running backs. You got, pretty good offensive material. It's just not coming together for the Falcons. And their defense is, no worse than average in the NFL these days. But going to be some movement in Atlanta, I think.
I would think so. Then we move to today's games. Patriots 27, Jets 13. I didn't hear much of that game, Chris. Why don't you?
Well, the thing is, I think Scott Zolak, and of course I listened to the Patriots announcing, and Scott Zolak would have said that it was refereed by a bunch of over-officious jerks, because that's quoting Marv Levy. There were a lot of penalties, not much flow to the game, a lot of offensive holding, this and that. Patriots did not play well in the first half. They did shut the Jets down. I think it was 10-10 at halftime. They ended up winning 27-13, so they kind of got their feet back under them, but it's the kind of win you get in the division. It's not pretty, but you get it and you move on. And next week they're going to play the Vikings. That's going to be a good game at 4:25 in Foxborough.
Yep.
Eagles 25, Giants 22 on about a 43-yard field goal as time expired. Merrill Reese was very excited when that field goal went through.
Yes, he was, and that kind of saved the Eagles' season. If they had lost that game, they would have been just about out of it, but they did win it. The Giants had a 19-3 lead, so it was quite a comeback for the Eagles. And, the Giants are playing better, but they're just not where they need to be, and that pretty much took care of them for the rest of the year. But the Eagles are now back in the hunt, as we said.
Buccaneers 27, 49ers 9. So, I mean, that was two teams that probably are not going anywhere, but nonetheless.
Jameis Winston's playing for a job, or an extension is basically what it is.
Correct.
Yeah, and you're going to have to look at Tampa Bay and for changes next year, too, because they're just at 4-7, and people expected more out of Tampa Bay, and they really haven't delivered.
Then we had the Raiders losing to the Ravens 34-17, so that.
Yeah, Ravens got themselves back into playoff. Position. I mean, they were just about out of it 2 weeks ago. And then they got to play the Bengals. We'll talk about them in a minute. And then who are still in playoff contention, but they're becoming a joke very quickly. The Ravens bounced back against them last week and now beat the Raiders, which people do. So now they're over 500 and they're a little bit closer to the Steelers too.
Bills 24, Jaguars 21. We had a fight break out in this game, and apparently two players were ejected, apparently they were even trying to fight in the tunnel headed to the locker room. So, we had quite a battle break out in that game.
They do. Well, Buffalo, they got Josh. They got Josh Allen back. Josh Allen, yeah. And they got him. There's too many Joshes and too many Allens and stuff. But anyway, they got him back. And they looked, again, when they have him going, when they have anybody but Peterman, they have a professional offense, even though they don't have many weapons. We're not talking about, a Rams, Saints, Patriots kind of offense. We're talking at least an offense that can put you in a game, be competitive with a bad team. And they were home. And, Jacksonville, you also look at the positivity and negativity around a team. And Buffalo's won a couple of games they didn't expect to win. They finally want to start winning some of their home games. They got a bunch of them in December, they said. And, so they're enjoying their season. They're not going anywhere. They're 4-7, but they're enjoying what they're doing. And Jacksonville is not, because they are very disappointing this year, the most disappointing team in the NFL.
And you may very well see some changes, in some of these places, too, going forward at the end of the season. Seahawks 30, Panthers 27. The Seahawks again won on a late field goal, which Sebastian Janikowski is still kicking in the NFL.
He's
been kicking for
forever.
Yeah.
And now Carolina has given, they had a nice little cushion for that top wild card like San Diego, like the Chargers did, and they've given it all back, and they're in the mishmash with everybody else. They've lost three in a row. Steelers started them on that road with a big win they had against them 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Then they went to Detroit and didn't win there, and then they lost their home game. They've played well at home, but now Seattle's right there and some others. So we'll be, and if whoever doesn't win the NFC East, there's a whole big mess for that second, for both wild card positions in the NFC.
Browns 35, Bengals 20. Well, the Bengals made coaching changes a few weeks ago. I guess Marvin Lewis is now running the defense. Hugh Jackson is pretty much running the offense, and it's just not any.
Well, it's really, this was probably one of the most satisfying. If you're a Browns fan, you got to think this is one of the most satisfying victories. They have been, their rivals, the Steelers and the Bengals, have just been beating them from pillar to post the last 5 to 10 years. And to go into Cincinnati and just wipe them out, and the game wasn't even as close as,
score at all.
No. And so, this is really, Cincinnati is in name only in contention for a wild card. We'll mention them, but, they just are nowhere. And again, another team that's having fun, they may not make the postseason, but they're going to have fun and win a few more games as the Browns. They're on a very positive vibe right now.
Chargers, they beat the Cardinals this afternoon 45-10. That game clearly was not close.
No, it wasn't. The Chargers blew it open. Cardinals got off to a good start, but 7-0. But then the Chargers, I don't know actually how it turned out, but I was listening to the game at one point, and Philip Rivers went 25 for 25 at the beginning of that game, and he tied the record set by what's his name, the quarterback for the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill, of all people, that also went 25 for 25. So I don't know if he set that record or not. I missed the next part of the game. But anyway, Philip Rivers can, he's the unsung quarterback. And I'll tell you what, as I said last week, if he gets in there into New England or Pittsburgh or Houston, they've got a puncher's chance, because I'll tell you, they can put up points.
And the Broncos beat the Steelers 24-17 in what many people would call an upset. And the Steelers just didn't play too well today.
No, they don't play as well. They don't play as well on. Well, they'd won about six in a row, and they put themselves still in control in their division. But now it's a little more tenuous. But the other thing too is they don't play as well on the road. And even though Roethlisberger and Juju Smith had a Juju Smith Schuster, I don't know even know how Bill Hillgrove says all that when he's running down the field. Juju Smith Schuster, I can hardly say it. Anyway, they're you know, it's a situation where the Steelers they don't play as well at home and on the road. And look at what they almost had happen to them in Jacksonville last week. So that's something they're going to have to watch going forward.
And yeah. speaking of Bill Hillgrove, by the way, he gets to go to Iowa City on Tuesday to play the Hawkeyes in college basketball. We'll get to that
later. There you go.
Colts 27, Dolphins 24, that two on a later field goal.
That's right. 24-14, the Colts were trailing, and Andrew Luck did it again as he, again, another sort of like Philip Rivers, an unsung quarterback because he hasn't got the Super Bowl rings and playoff wins that some other folks have. But, you know, you don't want to be facing him in a playoff game. He can come in and, look at that comeback he orchestrated against the Chiefs a few years ago. So he doesn't have the weapons he used to have. But I'll tell you, the Colts are now they've won, I think, five in a row. And they have to, we'll talk about the standings. They have to decide who they want to root for tomorrow night because with Houston and Tennessee meeting each other.
And tonight we have what would certainly be an elimination game for the Packers. I think the Packers, it's the Vikings and the Packers. And if the Packers don't win, they are pretty much done, and then that's just underway. And the Titans and the Texans, they'll play tomorrow at 8:15 East.
And if the Vikings win tonight, they will take the lead in the wild card race in the NFC because Carolina, as I said, has given it up. So now it's a real battle. So looking at the standings and how all this affects everybody, Patriots went to 8-3. Miami basically now at 5-6. The Patriots, we knew they were going to win the division anyway. They're 10th in a row, but it's a three-game lead with five to go. And that's kind of – and by the way, the Patriots, by going 8-3, and I'm sure this is an NFL record, the 18th non-losing season in a row for the Patriots. No matter what happens, at least 500 or more for the Patriots, 18 years in a row. That's unheard of. Then moving into Pittsburgh, losing goes to 7-3-1. Baltimore winning goes to 6-5. And Cincinnati drops to 5-6. So this brings Baltimore a little closer in the division. And again, Cleveland 4-6-1, much better than people expected. Tomorrow night, we got Houston at 7-3, meeting Tennessee at 5-5. So if Tennessee wins, they'll go to 6-5. And Indianapolis is already at 6-5, and Houston would be at 7-4. But Houston can go a long way to winning that division if they can win tomorrow night. And then in the West, we have Kansas City staying at 9-2. The Chargers are at 8-3 now. Denver moves up to 5-6, so they're in the mix for the playoffs. So looking at the seeds in the AFC, Kansas City would be the one seed. The Patriots would be the two seed and would stay there even if Houston wins. They'd both be 8-3, but the Patriots beat Houston. And then the Steelers would be now in the fourth seed at the moment. For the wild card, looking at it really quickly, Miami dropped to 5-6. And we know that, as I told you, Baltimore went to 6-5. We've got, Tennessee could go to 6-5. Indianapolis is already at 6-5. So we got a big mess for the wild card there, as you would expect this time of year. In the NFC, we now have Washington at 6-5, Dallas at 6-5. Dallas, I think, is the tiebreaker. Philadelphia at 5-6, only a game out, so they have a shot at the division again. In the North, the Bears took a good step towards winning that division, going to 8-3. Minnesota can get to 6-4-1, at least be in hailing distance if they win tonight. Green Bay, as Perry said, are in trouble if they lose. If they win tonight, though, and they tie Minnesota, and they would have the tiebreaker against Minnesota, they'd be at 5-5-1. They'd be in the wild card mix for sure. Detroit did themselves a lot of harm by going to 4-7. In New Orleans is a 10-1. They have they're right there with the Rams, but the Rams won that game, so the Rams have the number one seed. Right?
The Saints won.
That's right. It was in New Orleans. Saints won that game. That was the Rams' only loss.
Yeah.
That's right. So the Saints would have number one right now. Carolina again putting themselves in the mix at 6-5 by losing those games. Atlanta's out of it now at 4-7, and Tampa Bay is also 4-7. In the West, the Rams were off at 10-1. Seattle did a lot for themselves. Like I said, they were still had that wild card shot at 6-5, and then San Francisco and Arizona are out of it. So for the number one seed, as we said, it's the Saints. Number two is the Rams. Then the Bears would be the third seed. And the leader of the NFC East right now, Dallas, would be the fourth seed. For the wild card, looking at it really quickly, we've got whoever you want to, Washington, let's say it's 6-5, going to the North. Again, I told you about Green Bay and Minnesota. If Minnesota wins it, they'll take that top wild card spot for the moment. And if Green Bay wins, they'll both be 5-5-1, so they'll be right behind Washington. Then in the South, Carolina's now 6-5, and Seattle is now 6-5 with the tiebreaker. So it's kind of a mess for a playoff positioning. But we will look at the schedule for next week too, and then we'll move on to other things.
As of right now, there are no changes, so your schedule is accurate.
Okay. Well, it's not because we have the new Sunday night game. Okay. On the 29th, we start off with New Orleans at Dallas, 8:20 p.m., and that'll be interesting. Dallas' defense isn't bad, so we'll see what they can do with the Saints at home. Sunday the 2nd, Baltimore at Atlanta, 1 p.m., Denver at Cincinnati, 1 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry, that's on CBS. Denver at Cincinnati, 1 p.m. on CBS. The Rams are at Detroit, 1 p.m. on Fox. Arizona at Green Bay, 1 p.m., and that should be Fox as I turn the page. And indeed, it is. Buffalo at Miami, 1 p.m. CBS. Chicago at the Giants, 1 p.m. on Fox. The Chargers are at Pittsburgh. That's the Sunday night game now. That was moved to 8:20. They just said so on the Steelers game, and Miss A agreed. So that's now going to be the Sunday night game, 8:20 on NBC. Chargers and Pittsburgh. That'll be a good game. We have Carolina at Tampa Bay, 1 p.m. on Fox. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, 1 p.m. on CBS. Cleveland at Houston, 1 p.m. on CBS. We have the Jets at Tennessee, 4:05 on CBS. Kansas City at Oakland, 4:05 on CBS. Minnesota at the Patriots, 4:25 on Fox here from Foxborough. Fox doesn't come to Foxborough too often, but they will. So the San Francisco at Seattle game has been moved to some network. Probably it'll be on Fox. It's always, they always try to have two games on a network in case there's a power failure or some delay or lightning or won't be lightning this time of year. But anyway, and then the Monday night game, we told you the Steelers are hosting the Chargers at 8:20 next Sunday. And the Monday night game will be Washington at Philadelphia. That's a big NFC tilt. 8:15 p.m. ESPN Watch and ESPN. So there's the NFL in a big nutshell.
Yes, and remember, folks, if you would like to raise your hand, as someone just did, we'll get to them in just 1 second. You can hit *9 to do that, and when you do that, we will then get to you. And let's go to the someone in the 414 who just raised their hand.
It's Dick.
Hello. Hey, Dick.
Hey, how about those Bears?
How about those Bears?
Yeah. I tell you, I'm shocked. I wouldn't expect that this year, I'll tell you. Hey, I got to tell you, I listened to that LSU announcer last night. I don't think he was that bad.
He's not.
No, LSU announcer is good. It's the Saints announcer.
He's
all right. I like Deuce McAllister because I think he's pretty funny. He says some pretty funny stuff.
Okay.
Deuce, of course, is an Ole Miss alum.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
So that means Perry thinks he's great.
Yes.
But I'm surprised that everyone here in Chicago did not think the Bears were going to be that good. I mean, everyone was saying maybe 500 would be a win, a good season. But they are really surprising everybody. I tell you what, though, I can't. New Orleans and the Rams are really good. But you know
they
what? They have changed that Bear Rams game on the 9th to Sunday night.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's as it should be. Absolutely.
But boy, what happened to Michigan yesterday? My goodness.
Oh,
well,
we will get to that in a minute.
We will get to that because
we are definitely going to get to that in just a second. Eric,
another game over 100 points in college football yesterday. Yep.
Something's got to be done with that overtime. You know, last night with LSU and Texas.
Well, we're going to get to that. And I guess it's a good transition. Unless there's any other callers out there with a question, is it?
Do we have any other hand, Bill? I think I saw another hand raised. Did we have another one?
We had one other, but I can't tell who it is.
Oh, it's still in Milwaukee, Bill.
What'd you say about
Milwaukee? Boys, take care, everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Dick.
All right, Dick.
All right.
Okay. Is it Jerry?
Okay.
708-17.
Oh, that's Jamal.
Oh, Jamal, go ahead.
Jamal, okay, here we go.
Jamal, give us your NFL stuff, and then, of course, we'll get to college here in a minute. But give us your NFL stuff.
Okay, I'm going to make some observations. I think the Bears have a puncher's chance against both the Rams and the Saints if they came across in the playoffs.
I would agree with that.
The one problem they've got is they won't be playing them in Chicago because they're not going to have home field. They'd have a real good chance if they're playing them in Chicago on a snowy day.
Right, but I also say this. Right now, the Rams and the Saints have home field, have first-round buys, but I'm not sure. At the end of the season, I think one of them won't because, number one, I think the Bears will beat the Rams on Sunday night. Number two, you take a look at the Saints' schedule, they still have two with Carolina with Pittsburgh sandwich in the middle.
Well, Carolina's got to get their act. You know, Carolina, that looked good a couple weeks ago. But Carolina's got issues, and they're going to have to figure out what's going on with themselves right now.
I think Carolina's going to win one of those games, and I think the way Pittsburgh is playing, Pittsburgh is another team that would, even if they go down there and play New Orleans in that dome, Big Ben and the boys have shown that they could play offense just with anybody, and so the Saints don't necessarily have an easy road to nail down.
Jamal, where is the Bears Rams game? Is it in Chicago or is it in Los Angeles?
It's in Chicago.
Okay, so that'll be good. That'll even that does give the Bears a good chance at that one. And I'm not saying that. This is, as Chris Berman said all the time, this is why they play the games. I mean,
who knows?
As I say, Carolina's got things to work on, and the Steelers do it on the road. And I think that it's going to be tough to go to New Orleans and win for either Carolina or the Steelers. But I'm not conceding anything to anybody. I mean, obviously we've got the same in the AFC. You've got people. I mean, I give these seeds each week of where they are, but nothing's settled till it's settled. I mean, there's any given Sunday and all that good stuff. How many more cliches would you like,
And also take a look. The Chargers still have one more game against the Chiefs. Granted, they got to go to Kansas City to do it, but so there might be a chance that the Chargers, at least somehow, beat the Chiefs. I mean, not the Chiefs always the wild card.
Well, yes, the Chiefs are only a game ahead. You're right.
That's right. Basically, what Jamal is telling us is Jamal would like chaos.
Jamal always likes chaos.
We have fun with Jamal on that.
Well, right. And when we get to college football, there's a chance of some chaos.
Yes, there is. So speaking of that, let's go to the college football. And
By the way, first of all, if anybody wants to call in, 646-876-9923. 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key. *6 mutes and unmutes you. *9 raises your hand, and we will acknowledge you when we say your area code or whatever. But, yeah, college football, what an interesting weekend, to say the least. And Dick, by the way, you didn't have to hang up. You should have chimed in on this because I know that LSU-Texas A&M game, that one to me, it was going to be, LSU had it in their favor. And a play was overturned, an interception was overturned there at the end of the game, and so it went to 7 overtimes, the longest, the most overtimes in college football history. Now, they've only been doing overtime since the mid-90s. I believe it was 96.
I think 90 or 91, something like that.
Yeah. No, it was 96. It was 96 when they
went
in.
Okay.
It was 95, 96.
This one tied for the most overtimes.
But it is the highest scoring game between two. 74-72, Texas A&M hits a two-point conversion because after the third overtime in college, you have to go for two, and they broke an 8-game losing streak against LSU. So,
What time did it start, and what time did it get over?
It started at 6:30 Central. It got over well after 11:30. It was almost at least a five-hour game, maybe more.
Yeah. And that'll affect the bowl pecking order when we get to bowls down the road. That'll affect that because it'll affect the way where teams finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will. And the shootout on Friday night with another basketball score, and it didn't even go to overtime, and it was the Oklahoma-West Virginia game, Oklahoma winning 59-56, and I almost turned it off when it was 59-49, saying, okay, Oklahoma, and then all of a sudden West Virginia came. My brother-in-laws and I looked at each other and we're like, this ever going to get over?
Really. That was a good 4-hour game. That went to, it started at 8 Eastern, went to after midnight. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Dick brought it up earlier, the Ohio State-Michigan game. Ohio State, I mean, they won the game, what was it, 62-39. And to be honest, the game really wasn't that close.
No, it was not at all.
Michigan had a real flurry right at the end of the first half. I heard part of that, and they got it back, cut it down to 21-19. But then they gave up a field goal right at the end of the half, and after that, they really couldn't stop them. But Michigan, I was listening to the Michigan announcers, and they were not happy with Urban Meyer for keeping the first stringers in and, quote-unquote, running up the score. But, the problem is, this is what you have to do. If you're at Ohio State and you're number 10, you want to move up to a three spot here. That's what you have to do.
And if it were turned around, Michigan would have done the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they would have. And then, last night, Notre Dame, I mean, USC playing for Clay Helton's job, basically, because almost they seem that close to beating Notre Dame. And I don't know if that'll affect Notre Dame in the rankings. Probably not, because they did win and some others, right, and Michigan lost. But, some teams, Georgia over Georgia Tech, not really that close. Alabama went on to beat Auburn pretty good.
So do you think when we went in, we had Georgia 5th and Oklahoma 6th? Is that what we had?
Yeah, Oklahoma was 6th. Georgia was 5th.
Do you think Oklahoma's going to pass Georgia, or do you think that Georgia did enough against Tech to stay ahead of them and just leave it at the 1-4 play Saturday, and then they're out?
Well, not necessarily. It all depends. We still have conference championships, but
how would they like this to be for the championship? Do they want Georgia in or out is what I'm kind of saying.
Well, I don't know. I think here's the whole thing. If Georgia loses to Alabama,
Sean, he's talking about the rankings that come out on this Tuesday.
Yeah. Will Georgia be 4th or Oklahoma? That's what I'm asking.
No, they won't move Oklahoma ahead of Georgia. I think it'll be Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5, and then they'll wait and see Michigan. I don't know how far Michigan will move down. LSU's obviously going to drop. Washington State, who lost to Washington, they had the inside track for the Pac-12. They're down. Ohio State's probably going to jump up a bunch. I'm thinking it's going to go Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State is your 4, 5, and 6. That's what I'm looking. And then next week, what I'm thinking, we're going to go, these are all the scenarios. And for those of us that want the 18 playoff, this is what could happen. I mean, let's say Georgia beats Alabama. Georgia's probably in. Oklahoma, Ohio State could be hollering. But here's the thing. Georgia, if Alabama wins, and let's say Oklahoma were to beat Texas, that's not a given, of course, based on October. Oklahoma were to beat Texas. Ohio State were to beat Northwestern. Both of them we fight. And if Oklahoma or Ohio State gets left out, if they both do their job, then there's going to be some crying about an expanded playoff. But, like I said, you could very easily have Georgia lose, Oklahoma lose, and the least likely would be Ohio State losing to Northwestern, but they did almost lose to Maryland, but Maryland's a little better, I think, than what a lot of people gave them credit for. So I don't know, this is the chaos.
I would tell you, though, too, Sean, that Northwestern may be a little bit better than people think they are, too.
I think, Northwestern's a little better, and I think they'll give Ohio State. If all three of these teams lose, you'd have a two-loss Georgia, a two-loss Oklahoma, and I believe a three-loss Ohio State. No, two-loss. Yeah, I don't know. Ohio State would be a two-loss.
Ohio State has one loss.
So they would all be two losses if all three of these things happen, and then you have the folks crying for Central Florida where they need to be in there, especially now that because I had LSU possibly sneaking in if they hadn't lost last night. I had them sneaking into that playoff if all these three happened. But I mean, a lot of the games you had some pretty decent, pretty good games. Texas, I mean, almost blew it against Kansas. Had a chance to get, they did that. You had the Egg Bowl.
Do you think that about the only sure thing is that Notre Dame's going to be a 3 no matter what happens?
I think Notre Dame's probably going to be a 3, and you never know if Pitt could sneak up and beat Clemson or
Notre Dame might move up at that point, because they're undefeated, aren't they?
The top three are all undefeated, so I think
Clemson were to lose, then they drop to Well, then everybody be yelling because they're, you know, you didn't bring that part up, but then you got Oklahoma and Ohio State banging on the door from the outside if Georgia loses,
well,
you know?
Yeah, if Georgia loses, you may have Clemson drop to like 3 or 4, and then one of them, you know, you could have a Clemson-Alabama semifinal and then Oklahoma or Ohio State if one of them, if they both win, getting in there, jumping them. Next Sunday night, we will know all this, but throughout this whole week, it's going to be chaos, and we have... You know, like I said, also, Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury is out as their head coach. They announced that about an hour and a half, 2 hours before we came on the air. So he is out. Clay Helton's staying. We're going to – and you're probably going to see a few coaches as bowls come out. Louisville, you know, Louisville's going to be looking for a coach. You know, you're going to see some assistant coaches coaching some bowl games.
Is Maryland looking for a coach because he's the interim?
They are. They have not decided if they want to make Matt Canada the permanent
They're not. He's not going to get it.
Okay.
No, I don't think he is either, but there was talk that he may still be. Colorado, of course, they're going to be looking for a coach. Les Miles was named head coach at Kansas officially this week, so you know he's in there. So you're going to see a lot of your top assistants and head coaches. This next week, you're going to see a lot of movement. But
how about our schedule, Sean? Because we do have have some raised hands, so we'll get to them right after the schedule. So give us the schedule.
First of all, we have. The MAC championship is Friday night, Northern Illinois, Buffalo. That's at 7 p.m. Then at 8 o'clock on
Friday.
Is that
in Buffalo? Do you know if that's on the campus or where do they play that?
That is at a neutral site. I'm not sure. The only one that's on campus, I believe, is Conference USA.
And the AAC.
Those two. Yep. But the others are all at neutral sites, but I'm not sure. And then the Pac-12 is Utah and Washington. I believe that's in San Francisco. That's where it's been. So I believe it's still there at Levi Stadium.
Right.
Then you have a couple games at noon on Saturday. The Big 12 Championship in Jerry World, Texas-Oklahoma, River Rivalry.
They have to play at noon Eastern. Isn't there a rule in the world that they have to play at noon Eastern,
That was at the State Fair because you don't want to play a game at the State Fair.
You don't want people drinking all that time. I'm just saying it's ironic. They're still playing at noon Eastern no matter what.
But I think they had to start at noon Eastern, Chris, because they might be playing till midnight, you know, the way the Big 12.
Texas, they're one of the few in there that does play defense, Texas. And like someone said that on a national show about Texas, nobody plays defense in the Big 12 except Texas and, you know, Iowa State. And then also at noon you have the Sun Belt Championship, Louisiana Lafayette and Appalachian State, who's very new as a Division 1A.
That's pretty good for them to make a championship game. That's pretty good.
They're in their third or fourth year at Division 1A. Then at 1:30, and I want to thank the caller from the 515 for helping us out on this because this is the one we couldn't find. Middle Tennessee, Alabama-Birmingham, Conference USA. Alabama-Birmingham, interesting story. Remember, they dropped football for a year or two. They were without football for a year because of lack of funding, and then the alumni stepped up. They've only been back 2 years, and they're in their conference championship.
Yeah, and that's at Middle Tennessee, by the way, at Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Then Memphis will go to Central Florida at 3:30 to play Central Florida for the AAC championship.
Central Florida, they suffered a terrible injury on Friday. Their quarterback was injured, so that may affect them in that.
And then we have, of course, at 4 o'clock in Atlanta, the SEC championship, Alabama-Georgia, the rematch from last year, a little rematch there in Atlanta. Then 7:45, the Mountain West, Boise State, Fresno State. I have no idea where that is played, but it is at a neutral site. I do know that one. Then the last two, both at 8, the ACC championship, I believe, in Charlotte.
Yes.
And that is Clemson-Pitt.
Pitt at Clemson, yep.
Yeah. Pitt, Clemson, yeah. And the Big Ten, I believe, is in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Yes.
And that is, of course, Northwestern and Ohio State. So all 10 conferences have championships. Of course, your Power Five, and then we'll see, depending on what happens, if Boise State wins, Central Florida loses, Boise State could sneak into that group of six. But anyway, let's get to those raised hands.
But just before we do, we did have yesterday in the FCS playoffs. We don't discuss that too much. But there was a good game here in Cedar Falls. Northern Iowa played Lamar, and I didn't know what to expect out of this game, but Northern Iowa won the game 16-13 in a kind of a defensive struggle.
It was a good game. I listened to the fourth quarter, and, you know, they got that field goal, and they hung on. And now I guess they're going to play University of California at Davis next week.
Yes, that is on Saturday. That is Saturday at 6 o'clock Central, by the way.
Right.
And as you get deeper into the playoffs, the ESPN Family Network shows the 1AA playoffs pretty much almost every game as they get further in.
But if you have the ability to get online and listen to Gary Rama, the announcer for Northern Iowa, he's sort of a young, I don't know what you want to call him, Kevin Harlan, I guess. He really gets into
very
it.
Good announcer. Very good. All right, Bill, we do have some raised hands. So
yes, we do, but the new software has got me stumped. So someone with the area, let's see, the last four digits are 1708.
So 708,
no,
that's Jamal.
No, not 1708, that's their area code. That's Jamal's area code, 1 and 708.
Right.
Let me just fix this. We probably may be Jerry, but I can't be
724.
Jamal. 724 is Jerry.
724 is Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, what do you got?
No, it's Jamal, 708. One, because it's doing 1 in the area code now. It's not doing the last. Well, go ahead, Jamal.
About college. Well, I'll make some observations about college football. And hopefully the scenario that Sean talked about, whereby Ohio State let the Oklahoma and Georgia all lose, that would be interesting. Also, what if Clemson lost?
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, anything can happen.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. All right. You got a 2-6
Well, you have to say that Notre Dame at least got a scare yesterday, Jamal. I know part of your goal in life is to have Notre Dame lose, and they almost did.
Yeah, I was disappointed that USC didn't pull it off. But I frankly think that once Notre Dame gets the playoffs, they'll be a quick out because I can't picture them beating Alabama. I only picture them beating Clemson. I think Notre Dame's going to be a quick out. So we will not hear about the arrogant Fighting Irish fans beating their chest, you know.
Well, so they'll just switch over to basketball, that's all.
There you go.
Well, Illinois plays the Fighting Irish on Tuesday night in college basketball.
There you go. That's part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge we'll have next week.
My guess is the Irish will probably win that game, unfortunately. Although,
all right.
Hoping Illinois wins, but, you know.
Anybody else, Bill, that has
269. It looks like maybe it's area code 269. I'm a little befuddled by these.
No, 269. I don't know. It might be the other room in the last three. It's showing up our last three digits.
Oh, okay.
Well, then, okay, let's go to the person in the other room then and see what they have.
Exactly.
I'll bet they're going to tell us about some contact sports going on too, right?
I bet they are.
Actually, this is her twin sister, Geraldine, with a J. And I'm up at the Walmart right now because the Black Friday sale got too cray-cray on Friday, so I had to keep it going. Right now, I'm chasing down this guy because he just stole an Instapot from a 10-year-old. Can you believe that?
I don't know if I do or not. Anyway, go ahead.
I believe it.
You know, yeah, and that's not the only thing I saw. I saw a lady beat somebody up because she wanted the free Keurig machines that we were giving. Oh, wait, it's not the Keurig machine. It was the coffee and the cookies. Okay,
I don't doubt that people beat people up. You hear about that all the time.
I'm glad things are very peaceful in Texas these days.
Yes, everywhere.
It's cold out here now, and people they're going nuts. Hold on, guys. Okay, I have a runner. I got to go, boys. See y'all later.
Bye.
Okay. Any other hints? Jerry, if you want to talk, you're going to need to hit *6 so that we can hear you.
Yeah, I already did.
All right.
There you go, Jerry.
Looking ahead to Iowa and Pitt on Tuesday night. That ought to be a good game. I hope they, as far as football is concerned, they didn't show up yesterday against Miami.
No, they did. Well, that happens. You know, I've seen that with BC a couple times when you're already in the championship game and, you know, you got your Division I. That can happen. One thing that keeps a team like Clemson going, for example, is they're playing South Carolina and there's all kinds of bragging rights and, you know, everything. So that'll happen. But who was the guy that was doing the game yesterday? He wasn't very good, Jerry. Pretty boring.
It was Larry Richard.
Okay. He, I realize.
Some, comp- communications with Bill Hillgrove. The flight, you know, he had to be in Denver today, yeah. And he must not have been able to.
I think what happened, Jerry, the weather was so bad in Denver, they didn't want to take any chances on him not getting in there. I think normally, if it would have been a regular day, he could have gotten from Miami to Denver in time. But they, with the blizzard going on out there, you know, I think that's probably why they did what they did.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, Larry Richard is not, he's not as bad as,
but
he's no Bill Hillgrove, that's for sure.
And I have to say, our callers, y'all are doing good at transitioning us to that next topic. Unless there's anybody else out there that will.
I don't think we have any hands right now, but Bill, if we do.
I raised my hand a while ago.
Sorry, Gina.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
I told you guys.
Is that Gina?
Gina.
Yes.
Hey, what's happening?
Huskies!
Yeah, the Huskies.
Hey,
that's
Gina,
right.
We're still recovering from Thanksgiving. You just can't bear with us.
And we do want to apologize because some people, what it's doing, it's showing one and then their area code. And then, like, with that Black Friday update, it showed the last three digits of her phone number instead.
Right.
So we do want to apologize with some people. So either be listening if you ever hear one in your area code or the last three digits. That's anybody that's calling in of your phone number.
Go ahead, Gina.
Sorry.
What's up?
Well, the Huskies won on Friday, and I'm really glad about that because I really didn't think they were going to win that one.
Yeah. So how many? Now I want to know, Gina, how many apples can you put in an apple cup?
One bite.
That is
one bite.
Okay. So the Huskies got a bite of the apple. Okay. Well, that's what it does is it enhances their bowl, status, and of course they're not in the championship game, and then you can root against Washington State in that.
No, they are. No, Washington is in the championship game. Would they beat Washington State? So they.
Oh, that they got them in the other against Utah,
yeah.
Right?
That, yeah.
Yeah,
that
okay.
got them in. They,
oh,
that
there
got
you go.
Them back in. They almost knocked themselves out, but when they lost earlier, but since they won, they're back in against
Utah. Well, they were ranked. When I was checking that score, we knew Washington State was like 8, but they were 13, so they were no slouch. So it wasn't a big upset, but, you know, they were able to do it in the snow. And then how about those Seahawks, huh, Gina?
Woo-hoo! Seahawks!
Seahawks. Yeah, they really are in control of things now. They've got, they've worked their way into a good position. I told you not to give up just because they weren't going to win the division because I knew the NFC was going to get pretty crazy with the wild card. So they're in good spot now.
Yep, I agree.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some baseball rumors. I mean, Noah Syndergaard from the Mets is rumored to be traded to any number of places. Apparently, if you believe what you hear, the Yankees, believe it or not, the Yankees have not ruled out the possibility of signing Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and another starting pitcher. So apparently the old Yankees might be coming back.
Okay, well, you know, they went for the youth movement, and then I think they think this is going to put him over the top, but bring on Manny Machado. That's all I can say. That's fine with me. Let him screw up the clubhouse and not hustle and do the things he did against the Red Sox with the Dodgers. That's a good thing. And Bryce Harper, but they've got outfielders galore, so I don't know what they want to do about that. But Bryce Harper certainly a good player.
They would have to trade somebody, I would think.
What they need to do is get a starting pitcher, and that's what if they want to get Machado and ruin their team, which I'm all for, and then they want to go out and get a starting pitcher, that's really what they need. And obviously they're not going to trade for Syndergaard. This management, unlike some other Yankee managements, Mets and Yankees have made trades. It's not like they haven't, but this management maybe doesn't want to do that. But
and they did make one trade this week. They acquired James Paxton from Seattle. They gave up Justice Sheffield, who was supposedly their best prospect. But if you know anything, I think I have the same view as our friend John always had with prospects. Prospects are suspects until they pan out.
They'll prove it otherwise. And the other question I have is, what would be the top starting pitchers out there, the top two or three in free agency?
Patrick Corbin would probably be the top. And, I mean, there really is not a big class. Jay Happ is out there. Those would probably be the top two.
And, of course, that's his. They have him, so they would need to keep him. He's with them, right, Jay Happ? Wasn't he with the Yankees at the end of the year?
He was, yes, at the end of the year. He's a free agent.
So that's one thing they might want to do first is see if they can keep him if they were happy with him. But he didn't do much in the postseason. But, hey, you know, that one game doesn't prove anything. We did have
go ahead. They signed Raisel Iglesias, their closer. Everybody thought he was going to be traded, but apparently he's not going to be traded because he's re-signed by the Reds. Also, Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey resigned due to personal reasons, two of the candidates that I'm hearing for that job would either be John Farrell or Brian Price. I've heard both their names mentioned for pitching coaches.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, that's not surprising. John Farrell, of course, with the Theo and everything. So, you know, he's certainly a Red Sox guy, and they're familiar with him. And, you know, I think Joe Maddon respects him. And Brian Price, of course, with managerial experience, too. So that makes sense. And we do now know that Josh Lewin is going to, at least for the next year or so, be the pre- and post-game host, and I'm sure do some play-by-play for the San Diego Padres on radio. So he's, I think, in line to take the job of Ted Leitner, who still, even though he's about 71 years old, still does a full schedule. He does college football, college basketball, and many Padres games. But if he wants to cut it back a little bit, they're setting themselves up with Josh Lewin. Of course, everybody knows he's a quality announcer. So my rumor about the Dodgers was just me putting out rumors like sports writers do. They just put them out there. They never know. You know.
Well, let's hit the college basketball real quick. Chris, you have some info on the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and then we'll let Sean tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, I have a few games. Later on, I'm going to try for our phone group, I'm going to try to put a schedule together maybe tomorrow night, just because I'm not really sure. I know that, as Jerry said, Iowa and Pitt are going to meet in Pittsburgh. BC.
It's in Iowa City.
Oh, it's in Iowa City. Okay. That's right. You did say Bill Hillgrove would be going to Iowa City. And then BC will be hosting Minnesota on Wednesday night. Let's see what else. I just quickly asked.
Illinois Notre Dame.
We heard about that. What did I hear about Duke? They're playing Indiana, I think, aren't they?
Duke's playing Indiana. That's the big ESPN's hyping that one. Yeah, they've been hyping that one. So that's the big one that's going on.
The team that's out, I did ask around to find out the team that did not rate the challenge, because remember, there's 15 ACC teams and 14 Big Ten teams. 14 Big Ten teams, you ask? Well, you're not a math major. You just don't worry about it. Anyway, the deal is Wake Forest did not make the cut. So there's always one team that doesn't get to play, and that's who it is. So everybody else has a Big Ten opponent on their ACC schedule and vice versa coming up between Monday and Wednesday. Usually they have a couple games Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday are the busy days.
They are. And we've had all the preseason tournaments going on.
The Maui Classic's the one to always watch, because you had Gonzaga taking down Duke. You had a good game with Gonzaga, Arizona. Auburn, Duke was a good one. San Diego State, they were coming out of the loser's bracket, but they were.
Iowa State, Arizona was good.
Yeah, Iowa State, Arizona. That Maui Classic, they always, it used to be everybody went to the Alaska Shootout, then the preseason NIT was the big one. That Maui Classic is slowly becoming the top of these holiday tournaments.
And I think the weather was warmer.
Chaminade does not play in its own tournament anymore.
No, that's not the Chaminade Classic. That's the one over Christmas, because that's on Chaminade's on Oahu. They play at the Blaisnell Center.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're going to be in that one or not, but yeah, the Oahu, that's a different island. So
2 minutes.
Okay.
2 minutes.
Okay.
You want to hold?
All right. Go ahead, comments. John.
All right. Well, first of all, we want to thank everybody and hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Thank all of our callers for checking in. Remember, if you ever miss a week of Sports Lounge Live, go to legendoldies.com, look up whatever date you missed, look for Sports Lounge Live. You can check it out, or you can listen on the conversation station, 712-432-6499. Hit 4 from the main menu, 2, and then 4#, and then also podcast 1 is All Things Radio, 2 is All Things Radio Extra, and 7 is Coffee Club. If you want to leave us a message at any time, 773-572-7715 is how you can contact us. Do not make the message private, but we've had a good turnout of callers and good transitioning by our callers into our next subject. So that is, y'all are getting good at this, Dick and Jerry, Jamal.
Next week we'll have the playoff lineup for you, and we'll have maybe a peek at the bowls. But on December 9th, for those who always wonder what the bowl schedule is, Perry will have it prepared, and we will get the whole bowl schedule. There's how many bowls, Perry? 30-some-odd?
I think I heard 41 bowls. And we may even in the next couple weeks have a hockey update, so hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see if we can work that out.
But okay. Anyway, folks, Treasure Island Oldies coming up next. Stay tuned.
Great, good show.
Enjoy it. Good, very, very good show.
Yep.
Very good show. So anyway,
we are
done.
I guess
we're done.
We are